This is the Uptick Network Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Penny stock news and interviews from the microcap world. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. With your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I am super excited to have the next gentleman on my show. There's been a lot of talk about him, good and bad, and I asked him to come on the show to set the record straight. He is Bruce Perloin. He is the CEO of Hemp Inc. They trade on the OTC markets under the ticker symbol HEMP. Bruce, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me again.
Give my listeners a little bit of about statement of what hemp is all about, and then we're going to get into some Q&A.
Okay. Hemp Inc. Is positioning itself to build the infrastructure to support the emergence of the multi-billion dollar industrial hemp industry. The infrastructure includes a huge decortication plant and processing mill in North Carolina. We've just now announced in our last press release, not today's but the one before, we bought a CBD extractor, so we'll be building the infrastructure to do that. We're now focusing on the farming infrastructure, where we've contracted with farmers in North Carolina to grow 3,000 acres right next to our plant. We're growing 50 acres. So now we're moving to, now that the plant is coming online, we're moving to building the farming infrastructure. We're planning to grow 300 acres out in Arizona, where we have an eco village that grows hemp. We call them the hemp growing, CBD producing veteran kins communities, because they don't just grow hemp, they support the veterans and gives them a job, gives them retraining, cures them from all their post-traumatic stress disorder, alcoholism, whatever the problems are. There's a holistic healing and learning center is a main component to that eco-village, but meanwhile, that's where we grow all of our hemp. So we're building the infrastructures around America to grow hemp, and then we have the educational infrastructure, which is the Hemp University, which we'll be having here at the plant because everybody wants to tour the plant. We'll have 50 acres right next to the plant growing so people can actually tour a hemp field, and we'll showcase all the other companies in the industry's hemp products. Or not all of them, but a lot of them.
Absolutely.
As we get here. So, you know, we want to work as a group. You know, we don't want to be the biggest and the baddest. We want America to be the biggest. We want America to be the largest hemp exporter, not the largest hemp importer. And that's one of our goals. And you cannot do that until the infrastructure is placed. So now every month we have the Hemp University, which is the educational infrastructure, training the farmers how to grow hemp. I mean, it's a three-year-old industry. It's not like they've been doing it for decades. So they really don't know, and they really do need to know. And so every month, not once a year or twice a year, we'll have the Hemp University seminars here at the plant. So that's what hemp's all about.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that later in the program. You know, I feel I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask you this next question. There was an SEC probe into your company and yourself, and I invited you on the show for many reasons. This is one of the reasons. I want you to set the record straight. What is that all about? Where are we at in the process of that? And I'd like to turn that over to you.
Okay. Well, the SEC filed a complaint, I think it was about a year ago, against us. And here's the basis of that whole SEC case. Bruce Perloin has given a ton of stock away to nonprofits that I believe in. Patch Adams, Twilight Brigade, where 7,000 veterans died holding hands with one of their hospice leaders in 23 states, veterans hospitals. I was their largest donor, and I donated stock. The Feed the Homeless, the Save a Foundation, they do cataract surgeries around the world. A lot of nonprofits I donated stock to, my own personal stock, not company stock. They frown on that if a company does it. As far as I can tell, and I'll know as the case develops, my ex-wife, who was very angry that I left her, you know, she's very bitter, went to the SEC and said he got money back from all those donations that he gave, right? And in some cases, up to 50%. That's what she told them. So then that's against the law.
Right, okay? Right.
So they start investigating that. Right? That was the catalyst for what they were looking at. And quite frankly, if I did get anything back, that would be against law. Got zippo, zero, nothing from any of them As an example, I called Patch Adams and I explained it to him, and he said, the real Patch Adams.
Right, I understand.
And he said, I said, Patch, did you give me, and how much money did you give me back? He goes, you ain't getting a damn dime back. So, and that's to build a free hospital in West Virginia. These are
absolutely
all great causes. Now, if I was getting kickbacks, you know, that is against law, but that's how the whole thing started. They ended up finding two people that gave me money, all right? One, because he was giving me loans, but I never gave him or gifted him stock, all right? So they don't even know that. And two was my brother, who was buying stock from me. Now, I've sold restricted stock off 30% of a five-day floating average for 9 years, you know, from MJNA when I owned that company and now from Hemp Inc. There's nothing illegal about that. So the bottom line is, in about a year and a half, we will go to court and we will prevail on the merits of the case. You know, this is not something that I'm going to plead guilty and make a deal. I'm going to go to court and we're going to win the case. I mean, it was a little 15-page complaint. That's what it is. It's a civil complaint. And typically these complaints are 150 pages. But that was it. Four transactions on a 15-page complaint.
All right, that's good. That's good enough for me. Let's move on. One of the other reasons why I asked you to come on the show is to talk about your plant, 70,000 square feet in North Carolina, and the processing plant in Spring Hope, and the machine that you have in there. And then, to my understanding, there's another sub machine that's not even quite as half as good as yours. To my understanding, you're the only one that has this kind of machine in the whole country. Tell me what that's going to do for you guys here in the next two or three quarters, and where are we going from here?
Okay, it's not just the in the whole country. There's nothing like this in the entire Western Hemisphere. There's five places this big. There's five decortication machines this big. And when I say machine, we're talking 250 feet long, 20 feet tall. It's a whole line. And then there's a whole mill component to it, which grinds up the core of the hemp plant. It decorticates it. It means it takes the fiber off the bark. And in the center, we grind that up and make a couple products out of that. There's five of these in the world, two in South Africa, two in France, and the one here. What this allows us to do is process 40 million pounds of canaf in the decorticator plant part of it a year, and 40 million pounds in the mill portion of the plant. So that's 80 million pounds of hemp that we can process. This plant was built originally by the cigarette companies. When they lost that lawsuit way back when, they had to put warning signs on the side of the cigarettes. They had to stop advertising to kids and stuff. And they had to find an alternative crop to tobacco. So two of the big companies got together to the tune of $10, $15, $20 million and built this plant. They made the best horse bedding in the world out of a plant called canaf, which is what we process, which we'll process first because we have 8 million plus pounds of it in inventory right now. And they ran it for 5 years, made horse bedding, sold it at a loss. At the end of 5 years, they said, shut that thing down, put a check by the government box that we complied with that. And we ended up inheriting it from them. We could have never afforded to build this thing from scratch. It would take $20 million in 4 years. So we bought the machine, we moved it to a new location, disassembled it, transported it, and reassembled it in Spring Hope, North Carolina. It was originally in Snow Hill, North Carolina, 60 miles away. We now have an infrastructure that is unmatched anywhere in America to process industrial hemp.
Where we're at right now, Spring Hope, is all that paid for, the land, the building, the machine, or do we owe money on that?
No, we have a funder, and we owe money on that. He's been great for us for the last 3 years. He funds us, we pay him back, and everything's good, going fine. There's still millions of dollars owed, but you know what? I'll give you an example of some of the products and some of the customers that we'll go after.
Please do.
Yeah, LCM stands for lost circulation material. When you drill an oil well, you have a diamond tip oil bit, you have a lubricant, they call it mud, to keep that from burning up, and then you have LCM, lost circulation material, which if you drill through cracks or fissures, this plugs the cracks or fissures. We have the only natural, made of hemp and or canaf, LCM in the world except for one company out of Indonesia. They use ground up bamboo. So we're replacing the chemical concoctions that they use currently with an all natural product made out of canaf and next year out of hemp. Now, a company that would buy the LCM for us, let's take Pemex. Currently, Pemex spends, that's the Mexican oil company, they spend $40 million a month doing buying LCMs. Now, they're a target for us. When this plant was operating earlier, they were almost had a deal with Saudi Aramco. They wanted $1.2 million worth of LCMs a month, and they wanted it for a five-year contract. Pemex was looking at a 10-year contract. Petrobras, the Brazilian oil company, they're another target company for us. Currently, ExxonMobil is testing our LCMs. That's the first step in the sales cycle. They test it in their lab. They buy 5,000 to 7,000 pounds. They drill one well, and then they put their order in for 3 to 10 years. Those are our customers for the LCMs. Then we have the oil spill product. Knaf is the most absorbable plant on the product earth, okay? So according to a U.S. Naval study, so they're great for oil spills. And hemp is just behind it, okay? So we have a Knaf-hemp blend to clean up oil spills. They did it in the Gulf when they had that Deep Horizon oil spill. They used it there. We have booms that we can use out at sea, or we can use, you know, a target market for a target customer for that would be 5,000 AutoZones, selling the oil spill, you know, to people who work in the garages, or any large airport or mechanical, you know, where people are working on cars where you have oil spills. That's another product that's called Spill Be Gone.
And all these are all your potential customers, right, to use the raw materials?
These are not small customers. They're huge. So in 1 month, well, in 90 days, I could conceivably pay for this entire plant. From the size of the sales, the potential sales. Now, we're going to get those kind of sales because we're the only ones in the world, other than this place in Indonesia, that can provide a natural LCMs. It's all natural, and it's at half the price.
You know, I've been doing some reading on legalizing hemp in Wisconsin, Illinois, Nebraska. That's just to mention a few. I think there's up to 8 or 10. What is that going to do for your business?
Well, what it does, every time they legalize hemp in a state, it gives us the opportunity to create the farming infrastructure, all right? So, and one of the things we would do, like let's take a state in Oregon, okay? We work with the hemp guy in Oregon. And if he grows industrial hemp, we would set up a mill there, grind it up into 20 mesh, put it into super sacks, ship it here. We would take it to the final step, which is grinding up to 200 to 300 mesh, mixing it with bentonite clay and a couple other secret ingredients through that big silo that you can see if anyone watched our videos, and into the bagging machine. So that gives them at least a way to sell their stocks.
Absolutely.
It also allows me to open up what I call veteran village kins communities. The kins domain is 2.5 acres, so it's like an eco-village. And we do it for the veterans. So I buy 500 acres in each of the states. That's legal. The first thing you do when you're building an eco-village, in my model, is you plant 500 acres of industrial hemp, okay? Because before you can even do get the first house built, or even the first blueprint for the first house, you can harvest an entire crop of hemp. So we build these eco-villages, which end up producing your hemp for you, in all these states. So every time they open up a state gets legal, I go and file a corporation, Veteran Village Kins Community, Arizona, which we've been building the prototype for the last 4 years. Veteran Village Kins Community, Wisconsin. And so at least I get the first part of that infrastructure started, which is the corporation. And then we go from there, and we look, and we're looking to buy land everywhere in America in 500-acre parcels subdivided into 2.5-acre lots. And those are our – and so we're not just making money on the hemp, right? And we're also helping the veterans at the same exact time.
Absolutely.
Because you got – you know, if you look at the numbers, 328,000 veterans are going to leave the service every year. 44,000 of the homeless are veterans. 12% of that are combat women veterans with children. 22 veterans commit suicide every day. Who's working on that solution? This is a complete solution, not just for our veterans, because we train them, we teach them how to grow hemp, we give them money, we clean them up from the post-traumatic stress disorder or whatever other problems they may have, and we give them jobs, and we give them a career, and we give them a future.
My guest today is Bruce Poerlein. He is the CEO of Hemp Inc. They trade on the OTC markets under the ticker symbol HEMP. I know we talked about this a little bit earlier, but you got an educational symposium coming up on March 18th down there by Spring Hope, North Carolina. Tell us a little bit about that, and what is that going to do for the future of your company?
Well, what we're creating here is basically a hemp hub. We're going to have the Hemp University. It's a series of courses. The first one is for the farmer and the landowner on how to make money growing hemp. We have one of the courses will be, not this first time, but down the road, will be how to lose $250,000 starting hemp and how to avoid all the mistakes I did. And that's by a friend of mine in Tonopah, Nevada, who lost $250,000 or maybe $300,000 last year growing 50 acres of hemp. What is he doing? He's growing 400 acres of hemp this year. So you can see that it was great for him. That's a priceless piece of pieces of information to any farmer. He planted too late. He was in finance well. He got the wrong seeds. You know, whatever the problems was, he'll tell the farmers to teach him how to avoid it. We got a three-year-old industry, guys. The first legal hemp grow in America was in 2014 by Bill Billings, who will be here this first hemp university teaching a course. That's 3 years ago. Now, Ryan Laughlin, giving him credit, he grew a non-legal hemp grow, and he was the first in 2013, and he's sort of an icon and a hero in the industry for doing that. And they didn't raid him, they didn't bust him, and he harvested his crop. So, but still, legally, we're a three-year-old company. The farmers don't know how to grow it. They don't know how to get the seeds. They don't know anything about it. They don't know what kind of machinery can process it, because hemp is a long, strong fiber, and it will clog up your harvester. So, you know, we've had our farmers in North Carolina go out to farmers in Colorado and see how they're harvesting it without clogging up the machinery. So the educational component is critical, and we're going to have it every single month. So people always want to tour our plant, right? Because it's a pretty phenomenal plant here. So rather than have people come in different times, everyone comes in for the Hemp University. They get educated. We're growing 50 acres of hemp right next door. Imagine walking through 12 feet of industrial hemp. It looks just like marijuana exactly, except it's tall and skinny.
Right.
That's pretty cool, seeing the plant. And then we're going to showcase everybody's hemp product. Who makes anything with hemp, from hemp shield, a wood preserver made out of hemp, to, you know, hemp shampoo and conditioner, to CBD products. We're working with the entire industry, to Hemp Blue, which is a hemp denim clothing line. Hemp denim. How do you like to get hemp denim jeans?
We're running out of time. We're running out of time here. Let me just ask you one more question, and then we'll be doing closing here pretty soon. I want to switch gears real fast. While I got you on the show today, about metrics. When do you think that we'll be able to monetize some of the hemp and be able to bring some of that revenues on the balance sheet?
We're looking at the second and third quarter for starting our revenues. I just today. Now that we're about to come online, and I mean tomorrow, we're testing the machine. We tested the machinery, but now we're going to run product through it, the canaf through it, in the hammer mill. I'm going to hire Friday. I'd like this lady, a person to manage all the sales force, you know, directly under me, you know, so because I'm going to manage the salesmen. And so the next quarter, second quarter, we'll start sales. Moving into the third quarter and fourth quarter, which will be massive sales. And so that's what we're looking at. But, you know, first quarter will start. Second quarter will pick up speed. End of the year we'll be doing, you know, again, these are not small orders. They're huge orders. And the Hemp University itself is a revenue stream for us because we're having that every single month. So we're creating what we call the Hemp Hub, where people in the industry can come and network together. They want to put a booth here and showcase their products. They don't have to take them home. They leave them here for the next month. So it makes it a lot easier to showcase your products and to meet other people in the industry. So, again, it's to network together and to make America hemp again, okay? Make America the largest exporter of hemp instead of the largest importer of hemp. And I can't do that alone. I have to unite and organize the entire movement and the entire industry. And that's what we're doing here.
Well said, Bruce. I want to thank you for coming on the show today. I wish you nothing but continued success. I know you're a very busy guy. I do want to check back with you in the next 40 or 50 days to get an update report to see how hemp's going on. Our guest was Bruce Poerlein. He is the CEO of Hemp. They trade on the OTC markets. They're just getting ready to turn everything on. Might be a good time to get into the stock. That's my own personal opinion. The ticker symbol is HEMP. Bruce, thank you.
Thank you for having me again.
The following program is entirely sponsored and produced by Uptick Newswire LLC, which is responsible for the following content. The opinions and information provided on today's show are those of the guests and of those of the respective companies they represent, and does not necessarily reflect those of the staff or management of this station. Uptick Network encourages all listeners of the show to do their own due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that'll work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional. The guests of today's show may have paid to appear on the show and are not directly affiliated with Uptick Network or this station.